This is flash fiction entitled "Oh Danny Boy, the Pipes Are Calling." It was on the bad days that Danny remembered his father. Not because his dad had been bad, far from it. His childhood was awash with happy memories. His favourite, the one he told his children, the one he told his dad, as the hospital staff signalled the end was near, was being in Scotland. He had caught his love of castles and of melancholy exile on that visit, the song of which was captured in the tune that he had heard when they stopped outside Dundee, and in a field by the road looking ahead to the mountains, a piper slowly walked towards them, across the field, playing and then without a word stopped, turned, and with tears streaming, marched away until blowing on the bagpipe. He had the picture still, a copy from the original, done annually on his dad's birthday, as a sort of thank you, in his wallet. The sudden heavy rain, reminiscent of Scotland, pulled his thoughts away from the past. Danny looked anxiously through the poor visibility at the road ahead. It had been fine when he was at the river bridge, and he had to make home before nightfall. Debbie, his oldest, was bringing home a boyfriend for a meet the parents for the first time, formal dinner. His dad had always made sure he was at home for occasions like this. A spasm of anger crept down his arms to his fingers, so he gripped the driving wheel like a throat. So would he, if he hadn't got Patricia, the wife from hell. She always wanted the next big house, the next best party, what the celebrities wore. He was already living beyond the means of two promotions not yet gained. The last phone call from her was still hitting the inside of his head. "Can you turn the music down, love? You must get an upgrade. My club says that with the latest BMW you get an automatic cut-off now. You've had it for nearly a year."
"What do you want?"
"Someone wants to find his happy bear. I need to get new capers for tonight. The last lot have turned up with the wrong coloured cloths and a second-rate silver service. I saw it at the Bradleys, so we know their standards are."
"One more expense. She's only bringing a boyfriend back, not bloody royalty."
"Oh, you're so council estate sometimes, Daniel. We need to make an impression. I even made a butter centrepiece that André has helped me with. He at least thinks I have talent."
Danny remembered freshman university bringing her home, his head full of ambition to his mum's Tim Salmon spread and best cotton tablecloth. Till full of love to know to the heart in his mum's eyes of the dainty, how quaint, and the mouse bite-sized portions taken and left. When he broke the news later that year that she was pregnant and he was standing by her, his dad had just looked away and said, "You're a damn fool. She'll bleed you dry and demand more than your pockets than your trousers." They hadn't talked again until the phone call from the hospital. The sun had finally come out, but he could see from the cars in the other lane that surface water and flooding was going to be a problem. A gargle and a flash told him the worst. The car electrics were flooded. It wasn't going anywhere. Pulling out his mobile, he rang, trying to get hold of Patricia, but it was engaged. Looking down at the watch, he cursed. She was on the phone to her latest fad, Moz Izinski, some old bag lady she'd come across that used music to tell fortunes. She may well be genuine in thinking she had gifts, but he hadn't taken her long to see which side her bread was buttered on. Last year it was angel cards, and before that it was some Indian love everyone goddess. That one had faded quickly when it was clear that she wasn't a fake and really did mean hug the poor and give them your money. Marcy Zinski had come round last week and sang some rubbish about what loss would be found. At least Debbie didn't take it seriously. It left him feeling some hope. Bending over to whisper a joke in her ear, Patricia had looked across annoyed. She shoved him with a, "You'll need to find your happy bear." When he was into this was a waste of time. The rain held off, so reluctantly he got out of the car, desperate to have a slash, but as he did so he dropped the phone, and though he grabbed it quickly from the pool of water, It was too late. The phone had short-circuited. Howling with frustration, he threw it and held the tears back. He had no option but to walk back and across the bridge, despite the roar of the river that he could hear from here. The taxi firm could at least ring Patricia if they couldn't get him a taxi. As he walked, the rain came down heavily, and visibility became very poor. But the bridge looked about passable, even if the water was iron fast. He hesitated. It looked dangerous, but he owed it to Debbie to save him from as much of the dinner as possible as he could. Walking across, the bridge creaked and trembled in the roar of the water. Nearing the opposite bank, he could see in the distance a police car, its lights flashing, and a policeman. The crack was almost the last thing he remembered, as the water pummeled and smashed the air from his lungs. Because everything became peaceful. Looking over, he saw his dad by the fence at the end of his old street, and from somewhere bagpipes again played the song he remembered so fondly, as this time it was his dad who cried and marched towards him.